at the children's laughter reminds us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned.
The children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. All the beauty they possess inside and learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. Love that. Yes, it is. So good evening, and welcome to Bring Back the Family, Block by Block, focusing on the youth. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host, and I am happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, Block by Block. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Just keep that in mind. So first we will acknowledge God with a scripture and a prayer, and then we're going to get right to it. And so I want to acknowledge the co-host, which is, God, he brought us together to serve the youth in the way that he would have us to do our part in bringing awareness to what we need to do for him, okay? What we need to do for God before we leave him here. And he has brought us these co-hosts and hosts to help bring back the family, be what it is today, okay? So I want to introduce all the hosts here. And we have Jacqueline Vandegrift. We have Rebecca Johnson. We have Callie Pierce. We have our youth and young adult host, Jacob Ritron and Shania Cox. And, you know, our awesome wrap-up host, Pastor Gerald Overall from Pastoral, from Runner for Christ Ministries, and his biblical perspective and what did God's word say about all of this. Okay, so we're going to have that scripture of prayer by Jacqueline Rich. I'm sorry. I am Jacqueline Vandegrift. I am getting the names all mixed up. And we're going to have the prayer by Miss Johnson. Okay, go for it.
Well, hello there, Miss Clyburn, and the guests, and the audience, and Pastor O. Sister Johnson and Sister Pierce, the youth host. Let me get started. And as you know, we read from Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confidence, hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. God's people are in need. Be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Jacqueline Grant Vandergriff. Wow, that was beautiful. I'm Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to open us up in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we praise you and love you and thank you for your mighty power, grace, mercy, and care. We know that we serve a God that is able and who is bigger than all our problems. We thank you for your patience with us as we learn and grow and fall short daily. We thank you for waking us up again today. Thank you for another new chance to do better and be better for every problem that causes us to grow. Thank you for every opportunity to serve and earn heavenly treasure. Thank you for every hand that helps the production of this show. We thank you for all those who will participate and for each person to bring back the family tonight. Thank you for purpose. Thank you, Lord, that you know all things and you care for and guide us. We ask that you hear and answer our prayers. We ask that you protect and save us. We ask that you be merciful to us and give us joy and satisfaction. We ask that you teach us your ways and cleanse our hearts. We ask that you show us your favor. Cause us to be obedient and do all that we can to help children in need. Help us, Lord, to treat each child that comes to our attention as a precious gift from you that needs guidance and training in the way that they should go. We ask that you cause each of us to know how we can help on our blocks. Lord, we ask for your help to see that it is our responsibility to care for other souls that you created as images of you. We ask for your help to decide to do it and more help to do that thing in a way that pleases you. Because we know that we can do nothing without you, we ask that you cause us to desire to do your will in bringing back the family. We ask for these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. That's for the kids. Amen. So bring back the family. It is a call for the people to wake up, to get engaged, get involved, and make a difference. It's a calling for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when faced with a better tomorrow. Who is responsible and who is willing to sacrifice and take responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? And what are we going to make up in our minds to do? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get busy with the challenges and changes of support, sacrifices, meeting people where they are in order to make a difference in this world? Who is willing? Who? Who's going to be in charge of the next chapter, passing the torch, running the race, doing great things because we prepared them? We can do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a nuisance to the community. And so just picture this. Picture this, parents, young people, not having to worry about your adult child going out in the community, terrorizing, making a bad name for the family and a bad name for themselves. Just being good, productive citizens. So, Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we as parents and community need to do for our youth, our kids, our children, educationally, professionally, spiritually, being totally in tune and involved in every aspect of their learning and life in order for our youth to be good, productive citizens so that they are able to contribute and be a contribution positively to society and others all around this beautiful world, wherever they go. So what do we propose? Bring Back the Family propose that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block, okay? Something for the youth on your block to share, care, love, be a positive role model, a good example that our youth can see, learn, and live by. We could get them books, workbooks, take them on outings, field trips, you know, educational things, the science center. You could do something on your block, do a book club where they just sit around in the driveway, on the porch, in the street, and in your home, their home, and read. Read a book and talk about it. Everybody get a chance to read, and that's what Kat's kids do with her kids on her block. Okay, and so that's how we propose to do what we propose to do block by block. Work with the youth on your block. Can you imagine that and what it would do? Do a college fair, a career fair. There's so many things that our kids need right now that we are supposed to help with, that we're supposed to be the front runners for them. Okay, we were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it, okay? And simply just giving back, giving more than what we had, because it's a different time and a different generational mindset, and just meeting them right where they are, meeting them right where they are, okay? So that's what Bring Back the Family is about. I want to thank Shania Cox, our young adult co-host, for hosting the show while I went fishing for a whole week. And I can't wait to go back next year. It was a great time. Had very great reviews, and just proud of her, of my niece, and her beautiful spirit. And, you know, this is just the result of your investments and what you put in, because what you put in is what you get out, you know. And when we put in, they are able, our youth, our children, our young adults, they're able to come back and showcase their talents and abilities, and all just because she was put on the right track. She was put out there the right way, okay? And so she had all the parental support and all the support and assistance from family and community. And when we help our young people, we can look forward to them coming back to give back. If we don't give them what they need to make it, then what can we expect? Okay, so I want to just thank Shania Cox for hosting when I went on a little vacation for a break. Okay, hey, we're making history. Like I said, we're making history. History is in the making, and someone will be helped now, later, and in the future by Bringing Back the Family block by block. Okay, all right. So get on your block, do something positive for the youth. You see what kind of world we're living in right now, and our youth need us right now. They need us now more than ever for everything that they need, educationally, spiritually. They just need us right now. It's time for us to step up. And take our place where we, our rightful place where we should be in our young people's lives, okay? How was the first day of school for the kids? You know, what did we do? Did we encourage them? Did we give them some good confirmations? Did you even go outside and make sure that they were that you encouraged them, just went outside and just make sure that they were safe getting to the bus? Being involved and being excited for them to go to school to learn, and making sure that they're excited. Well, I did. I went out on my block and I hugged my kids and they were looking so beautiful. And just, you know, gave them some good confirmation, just y'all be the smartest in the class and be the smartest in the school, you know. And so they were happy. I was happy. They got off safely. And that's just the things that we should be doing for our youth. How was their first week? Did we greet them when they came home? Did we show them love? Did we, you know, help them with their homework? Did we find out what they did in school? Did we ask any questions about, okay, what did you learn today? I asked them what they learned today, and they all said they didn't learn nothing. They didn't do anything in school that day. Maybe just socialize. And a lot of them said that they just talk with their classmates. So I guess the first week, you know, we could give them that, and they could get to know each other and their classmates and do all the little things that they do as far as just getting started and getting to know each other, socialization. So we're going to give them that. But make sure you ask them every day, what did they learn, so that we know what they learned. And then, you know, we could find out. We go to school and find out, okay, well, they said they didn't do this or they did this and that, and it wasn't, you know, anything that they was able to bring home and show you or bring home or tell you. You know, it's time to go up to the school and find out what's going on. If they didn't learn anything that week, and you asking them what they learned and they still say, well, we didn't do anything, then it's time to go to the school. So this year, I'm just hoping and praying that we just be so involved in our youth and their learning and just be interested in everything that they're doing, that they want to do better, okay? So parents, leaders, our village out there, family, we need your help now more than ever, okay? It's just time to put everything we have into the work that we have to do, supporting our youth and our young people. They need our assistance in getting to the next level. They need to be, you know, pushed in the direction, in the right direction. You know, a lot of, we say the 18 is, you know, is it, and 18 and out. And 18, they're not prepared. They are not prepared at 18. And I hear a lot of parents say 18 and out, that's it. But it's not, because the governments have made parents responsible for their adult children until they're, I think, 26 years old now. And so so they're still dependent on you. And in some cases, they really do still need you. I know that some kids and that's dependent on their parents, you know, sometimes we kind of hold our kids back and kind of sort of like keep them hostage in a way and kind of hold them back, because the government might have made us be responsible for them at 26, but we don't want to be responsible for them at 26. And so we're not doing what we need to do to help them to get what it is that they need to go further if they want to get, you know, further their education, because if they go to and try to get financial aid for their classes, then the parents have to be responsible to sign that paperwork that they need to go. And a lot of parents are not, they're not willing to sign that paperwork. And so that holds that child hostage. It holds them back. And so because they're not, you know, parents are not used to doing that. And so that, you know, it discourages the child, it discourages the student, and then they don't really know which way to go after that. And so that's why I say we need to keep helping them. We need to keep helping them. I have a young lady that we've been working with, and she just graduated from high school. And so we, you know, talked to her into making sure she go, you know, further in her education. And so she had the problem of her dad not wanting to sign for her financial aid or the papers that they need for her to sign to go further. And so she just kind of like, you know, was sort of giving up. And I was like, okay, well, you can't, you know, it's something that you could do. And so, you know, Miss Jackie, so she heard me talking to her and just, you know, counseling her. And so she went and did some research and found out that she could bypass the parent's signature if she have special, you know, a special situation or special condition or whatever like that. And so she did the research and had to write some letters and, you know, go through a few hoops as far as being able to be able to be a real independent student without the help of her parent. Now, how many young folks know that? How many young adults know that this is available to them, that they can write letters and, you know, go through a few hoops? So Jackie, you could tell them about, you know, exactly what happened, what they said and the information that you got and show them where to get it at for her to be able to bypass her parents' signature and being an adult, you know, and she could be her own adult independent student. And so that was one of the things, okay? So like I said, we're kind of holding our kids back because we're not used to doing that. We're not used to signing for things for our adult children because, like I said, 18 and out. And, you know, we don't just come up with these stories and topics. These are real life things that happen all the time. And so this is why we come up with what we come up with, because there are things that's happening to our young people, and that lets you know that they need help. That's why it's important to share this program so that we can help each other. We can help each other and help the youth. And so we're going to talk about, we got a lot of resources, scholarship resources for you today. Talk about financial aid, parents' responsibilities for the youth after 18, policing them, because you have to, you know, they could get discouraged real quick. And so what Miss Jackie did, she policed her. And made sure that she did what she was supposed to do. She didn't just say, go do A, B, C, D, E. She said, come and pick me up. I'm going to take you there. We're going to go together, and we're going to, you know, whatever questions you don't know to ask, I'm going to ask them. Okay? So she went the whole nine yards with her, and that is what needs to happen. We have to push them. Because they get discouraged, okay, because they just don't know. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. And so as we learn, we're telling them. As we learn, and that's what's good about resources and knowing other people and communicating and socializing and networking and things like that, because everybody has something to offer. Everybody has something to give. And so if we get back together as a people, to help one another and keep everybody, you know, just get this family back together, community, sense of community and love and help and try to help the youth with what they need and sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. We're going to talk about community, like I said, love, support, family, and college readiness. So Miss Jackie and Miss Johnson, it's open. Yep, just you heard what I said, and you guys have a lot of information today, and we want to share it with our listening audience, and just glad that everybody's here and here with us.
And yeah. You know what? We are so thankful for bringing back the family, because one of the things is that And I noticed today, talking to you, Miss Kathy, that, and that tells you when God is in the mix, leading this, because I had not talked to Miss Johnson, Miss Rebecca Johnson, today. But we both were working on the same project about college readiness, looking up scholarships, and we had not had this discussion. And you said, wow, I was just talking to Ms. Johnson, and she was doing the same thing that you're doing. So that has to be God saying that our children need help. But you, through the, I guess, pushing past the O and getting the wheels turned for Bring Back the Family and taking it to the next level, and the support of your family that came together this Sunday and came together as a family group and donated school supplies for the children. And it's amazing how they know, because they were raised that we have to give back. So they came all together as a family, and they dropped off whatever the ones that had it, dropped off what they had to give to help kids going back and forth to school. So to say all of this, to kind of bring it to the pass about the young lady, and we don't say people's names because everybody's story, it's a story because somebody else is going through the same thing. But we're here to uplift that person, and also to hopefully we can uplift someone else. And I just overheard the conversation. And the sweetest little person that you want to meet. And she was saying, well, I don't know, because she really didn't know. She didn't want to be argumentative towards her parents, disrespectful. She didn't want to do that. So she didn't know which way to go, so she just went out and got herself a job. This is somebody that, as she was going through high school with these dreams and these goals of the direction, she knew where she wanted to go. She knew what she wanted to do. She knew how much it would benefit her after she complete her curriculum in school, what her how stable she would be. But yet and still, there was a monkey wrench thrown in there, not because selfishness, like Ms. Kathy said, is because they're not educated or didn't prepare for the children when they were young. Most of us didn't, okay? So it's not like some of us had a magic ball all those years back, because we all were faced with it. But one thing about it, nobody got where they were going. Somebody helped pull you to where you at. Whatever success you have in life, somebody, God gave somebody a kind heart to say, hey, let me reach out and help that person. Because I know I would not have had the experience that I've had in life and the things that I have learned over life is because I was wise enough to listen and be obedient to the elders who wanted me. One lady said this, and you know they're much wiser than us. She said, can I ask you to go through this path, the fork in the road? Will you go down the right side so I could see what it's like over there through your eyes? Because she said she went on the left side. and she know what the left side is about. So if I could go on the right side, she could see through my eyes and experience what it's like on the right side. But if she had told me, no, I want you to do A, B, C, D, blah, 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 I probably would have probably did it. But most kids would have probably said, oh, she don't know what she's talking about, because, you know, at that age, they think they know everything. So I'm here to say this, because of these concerns, and she was able, and we did go over there. That was one of my outings, many, a few outings, but there was a need, and I was masked up. And it was great, because the research that we pulled together, how she could, because of certain circumstances, she could bypass certain things and qualify for the FAFSA and be able to go in and get ready for school. But now, here to say this, even at the university, they didn't know, the young staff there didn't know that you could bypass it until we actually showed them the letters that we put together, okay? So to say this is that it's all about knowledge. Knowledge is powerful. So to say that, this is what we decided, okay? This is the tea. We decided to have a kickoff from Bring Back the Family, where if you are willing to be responsible to help guide a youth, we are coming up, and so far we have found quite a few places that's giving scholarships. We want our campaign is for every child that is a part of this, that's willing to be a part of this, to put in 100 applications before graduation. They could start, some of them can start as early as the 11th grade. They even have some of the kids starting early. Now, there was one scholarship that they had, and it was a small scholarship, but it was for a young person from 12 to 25. They had to sew something from wool. And I believe that, I'm trying to see here, that scholarship, and I don't have it here in front of me, but I have it. It's back on the printer. I think they could win $1,000 for their sewing if they were going into that direction of design. That was their interest. But from the age of 12, your child is starting to prepare putting money in a bank, saving it, that they earn a $1,000 scholarship. So when it's time for them to graduate, they have built a strong foundation where they don't have to have a student loan. We're trying to bypass the student loan, and we're trying to get our children to look at their education as a business. Work your business, do your homework, get good grades because you invested. Because one thing about it is, as a little song that comes on my phone, and I try to set it out every day, good morning, Jesus. Thank you for waking me up. Well, if God has given you the gift of waking up, then you're responsible for making that day a meaningful day. So many people wish they had the ability to get up. So we have to give something back. And let's give back by saying that we're going to take the time to study our homework and do the best we can, because they have all types of scholarships. And if you have passed that point where you don't have the 4.0 or you don't have the 3.0, but there's some scholarships out there for 2.0s. But let's get it done, okay? Because you can't be responsible for the past. Because if that's the case, you look and you live in your life looking through the rearview mirror and not through the windshield. So, Miss, I also want to thank Kim Somerville for setting this called the Veterans of Foreign Wars, a scholarship that is going to be due this month. But they are offering the grand prize of $35,000 awarded to a scholarship person. They have a term that they call them awardee. So, and that one is you have to use a criteria of points. Originality is 30 points. Content is 35 points, and delivery is 35. It's a video essay that the individual is doing. So it is important that we embrace our children to put forth the effort and to be competitive. Okay? So I want to thank Kim Somerville for sending this information to bring back the family. A lot of this stuff is going to be, if you're interested, you have a way of reaching Miss Kathy Clyburn. And I think all of her information is your phone number, Miss Kathy, on the flyer. Okay. Well, we're waiting on her to click back in because she's in charge of her.
I'm sorry. I'm just talking. Yes, it
okay.
is. It is on the flyer. So, yes, you get all the information
okay.
You need.
So now, Miss Rebecca.
Yes.
Now, there are some great scholarships on one of these pages from some of our celebrities have some great scholarships. You want to talk about that?
Well, first,
do you
I
have
want
that
to say.
In front of you?
Yes, I do. But first, I want to say what I really appreciate what you said about running your education like a business. That is really so good. Please don't get a student loan. If you put in 100 applications before you graduate, then you will most likely have your expenses taken care of. If you start in your junior year, and you put in, that's how I look for a job. You put in 6 or 7 applications every day until something comes through. And if you don't know what you'd like to do, just try a lot of different things and see what doors open for you. But as far as a list of scholarships, oh, and by the way, our topic is college readiness and educational assistance. If you have a comment or if you want to ask a question, please press the number 1 on your phone and we'll open up your mic. So
that's right.
The first one on the list is CapEx, which is a free website where you can learn which colleges want you before you apply. And because that reminds me of the job that I have where they recruit students on campus like athletes or students who want to become a CPA. And if they do, they're looking for you before you graduate. And then there is Now, so that first one was CapEx. That's a free website. That's C-A-P like pot, P like pot, E-X like x-ray. And then the next one is CHEG, a place to connect with scholarships and learn about colleges. And that one is spelled C-H-E-G-G. And then there's another one. It's called the College Board Opportunity Scholarship. And that program guides juniors and seniors through the college planning process and offers the chance to earn scholarships from $500 to $40,000. That one was the College Board Opportunity Scholarship. Next up is the Common Knowledge Scholarship Foundation, educational and scholarship opportunities for students of all levels. Common Knowledge Scholarship Foundation. And then we have the Dell Scholars Program. It recognizes academic potential and determination in students that have a definite need for financial assistance. Dell Scholars Program. Next one is called FastWeb, where you create a profile and then you let FastWeb do the research on scholarships and internships. That one is FastWeb, F like Frank, A, S like Sam, T like Tom, Web, W-E-B. The next one is Going Merry, a free one-stop scholarship program platform. It matches you with scholarships and then helps you apply. It has both local and national scholarships, and you can bulk apply for multiple scholarships which share similar essay prompts using one application. That one's called Going Merry. Next one is HS Finder. And that stands for Hispanic Scholarship Fund. HS Finder, S like Sam. And then there's another one called Jack Kent Cook Foundation, a national scholarship provider dedicated to advancing the education of promising students who have financial need. Open to high-achieving high school seniors who seek to attend and graduate from some of the nation's best four-year college and universities. That one's called Jack Kent Cook Foundation. And then there's Know How to Go. And this one is complete information on college prep, whether in middle school or seniors. So that's good for preparing before high school. It's called Know How, and two is the number two, and then go. The NSHSS Foundation is the next one. It says it fosters the growth of students pursuing. Lost my paper.
Okay, I'll finish that one. Pursuing the STEAM. This is the acronyms for it, S-T-E-A-M. Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Math. Business, Economics, Public Policy, Environmental Science, Susceptibility Fields. The NSHSS Foundation connects young scholars with additional opportunities to advance their education, personal growth, and career interests. The next one is PeerLift, Proven Scholarship Internship, Summer Programs, and More. Gathered by fellow students like, founded by a team of 2017 Coca-Cola scholarships. The Reagan Foundation Scholarship, Opportunities for Outstanding Students, and then Scholar Snap, S N NHPP. Tell me when you're ready, Ms. Johnson. A free, simple-to-use data standards that allow students to reuse their application information, including contact information, essay transcripts, etc., from one scholarship application to another, thereby steaming the college scholarship application process. The next one is scholarship. You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Okay.
The next one is scholarships.com, right?
Yes.
A free college scholarship search and financial aid information. And then the next one is Scholarship America. Provides information and resources for your scholarship search. The next one is called Scholly, S-C-H-O-L-L-Y, and it's a mobile app that provides students with a fast and simple way to find scholarships for college. Created by Christopher Gray, a Coca-Cola scholar. Then the next one is Thurgood Marshall College Fund. It provides scholarships, programmatic, and capacity-building support to the 47 historical black colleges and universities, HBCUs. And the next one is UNICEF, is that right? UNCF. Award 10,000 students each year through 400 scholarship and internship programs so that students from low and moderate-income families can afford college tuition, books, and room and board. The next one is the Oprah Winfrey Scholar Program. It requires you to have a GPA of 3.2 or 3.0 Morehouse College GPA, a combined SAT of 1,200 or an ACT of 26. And there's another one called Angel Scholar Award Program. And another one called Beyonce and Jay-Z's About Love Scholarship Program for HBCU students. And another one called Jay-Z's Sean Carter Scholarship Fund. Someone needs to mute. A U.S. citizen or a permanent resident is the requirement. You have to be 25 years or older with a GPA of 2.0. Or younger, thank you. 25 years old or younger, GPA of 2.0 or better, and the deadline is April. The award is $7,500. And this one is discontinued. However, it had a requirement of an essay based on a competition theme, and it required you to upload a link to their social media. Which brings us to talk about every student's social media profiles and how they need to tweak their profiles to make sure that there's nothing negative on their profile, nothing that would make them look unstudent-like.
They can make it fun by saying that let's have a vision of what we want, where we want to see ourselves in 5 years. Then
absolutely.
They could do a video where they are dressed up like a well-defined, if they want to go into nursing or a doctor or business, they can have in the background, or they could have now with their face pointing to a career, this is what I'm going to look like in 5 years.
That does sound.
What you see me in the hoodies and the fashion tennis shoes is child's play. This is where I'm going to be at in 5 years. This is my future. Things like that gives a school that makes them remember when they were young but it also tells them where you are now because you had to grow. Because sometimes what we do, and, you know, different generations, they might, young folks now say, bro. But I don't know if you all, some of you remember when they used to say, dude, or that's cool. That was the language, okay? And our parents would say, correct your language, like sometimes I do, you know, with Jacob. Correct your language. Speak like you are talking successful. And I have to think back, you know, when we were coming up, that's cool. Yeah, dude. All right. You know, we had our own little slang. But the thing about it is, that we want to get across to our young people. It's okay for you to have a slang around your friends, but we wasn't competing with the world.
That's true.
Times
and these young
changed.
People are.
Right. So it's important that we start correcting, changing the image on our social media, and start projecting everything. This is what I'm going to look like in 5 years. Because you know what? My coach, and he's been on the show, Joshua Jackson, young man, okay, very young man. I think he's about 33 now, but he has the wisdom. He said, and we talked about this earlier, Miss Johnson and Miss Kathy, if there's a problem, and if that problem is not going to be a problem in 5 years, give it 5 minutes.
That's so good.
So now let's look at that. Mary Jane don't like you. And Mary Jane is telling everybody not to socialize with you. In 5 years, are you going to be concerned if Mary Jane likes you?
Not at all.
Not at all. So give it 5 minutes of thought, because it's not worthy of you holding on to the negativity. Because in 5 years, hopefully everybody has grown somewhere in 5 years. So that's very important. I'm glad you brought that up about the social media. Even though this person, his Derek Ross scholarship is disconnected, but he put something on there in the requirements. Upload a link to their social media.
Right.
He put it in the meeting. The others just go on there and look at what you have and see if you are ready. There were some of these scholarships that said they wanted you to finish a program of college readiness. And I was searching around. I said, oh, my goodness, I can't. Then I thought about it. He did college readiness in the eighth grade with the University of Michigan. And doing his college readiness, that's how he understands that of your GPA can rise because it can rise because you can have AP college classes, which raise your GPA. That's a point. Honor classes. That's a point. Other activities that you are involved in, some people are involved in the band or music, or these things give you points. And these points raise, that's how you see people with grade point average 4.8 or whatever. Well, okay, now you're in the 12th grade. You don't have a 4.0. You might have a 2 point something. But put in search and find, and that's why we're looking at all of these scholarships to share with you. So you can go in and find 100 scholarships that's going to help you pay your education where you don't have to get a student loan. Ms. Johnson brought that up at the beginning. We as neighbors, you might not know how to reach kids, but you can get online and find some scholarships out there and help us with this and get them to Ms. Kathy so we can start helping these kids that's in the 12th grade and 11th grade. And some of the kids that are already in college, they have scholarships for them for undergrads to help them cross that bridge, because the college world you have to be a strong individual to walk across that mile, that final stage, because through the grace of God, you get through.
Right. And we can never forget that college is a business.
It's business.
Business. Yes,
okay.
It is.
So now let's get back to, I know time is against us, so let's get back to, you have some more that you wanted to talk about. I think you want to start with
let me interject. If anybody wanted to have a word to say, you could just press 1 and we will open your mic and you can have your say. Thank you.
Okay, let's see. Mary J. Blige has a partnership with Pepsi-Cola, so women with HBCUs, the deadline is September, and you can win up to $50,000. Then the next one is 100 Black Men National Scholarship Program. You need to be a U.S. citizen or a permanent U.S. resident. You can enroll full-time as an undergraduate student with a GPA of 2.5 up to 4.0. Mentees or affiliates with a proven financial need, significant gap in financial resources. The deadline is February. You can get from $1,000 to $5,000 on this 100 Black Men National Scholarship Program. Then there's Jesse Jackson's PUSH Excel Scholarship Program. The deadline is April. They can award up to $25,000. Awardees must participate in the Rainbow PUSH Annual Conference and agree to cooperate with various events and public relations activities. $30,000 for that one, up to $25,000. Then there's Jack and Jill of America Foundation. It's a need-based scholarship for high school seniors, full-time status, a 4-year post-secondary institution working toward a bachelor's degree. That one is Jack and Jill of America Foundation. Then returning college students, $2,500, full-time, begin their junior or senior year in major communication. Submit a transcript. A 1-page essay of career interest, must have a GPA of 3.0 up to 4.0. And then you need to complete a FAF essay application, which is a letter that you have completed 60 hours of community service. The deadline is June. The award is $2,500. Then the next one is Chevrolet, Discover the Unexpected Scholarship Program for HBCU students. The application is a resume with GPA and references, writing and professional work sample, a video submission. The deadline is May. The award is $10,000. And then the last one on the list. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Sister Kathy.
No, go ahead. That's a lot of scholarship. That's great.
Yeah, a long list. And their last one is on the list is the Best Buy Scholarship. This is for high school students in grades 9 through 12. They have 15 scholarships. with an award of $1,000, and
that was for the one that's that's the one that's entering college the fall after high school.
If you're early.
Right. If a person already graduated this year, after high school and they're entering college this fall, they can put in for that $1,000. That'll help. Listen, let me say this. The crumbs make.
Right.
So right. If you can get 500 here, 500 there. If you had 100 scholarships that you got $500 for, you see how much money you would have for those 4 years? Help you with your books, help you with tuition, help you with the things that you need. There's Pell Grants out there. But I do want to emphasize, because I do have to get this information back to a young lady we met with on Sunday, Miss Kathy and Miss Johnson, that we met with Sunday, and I promised that I would send her the email for this one here with Veterans of Foreign Awards. That's the one that they have to do the video. The voice got the video. Yeah, what is that? Audio. Audio resume. Now, some of them are due. You have some that's due the 15th of September. And you have some that's due the 23rd of September. So it's up to us if you really want to. Now, this one here, the veterans is up to October 31st. I'm sorry. But if you really don't want to spend the money or don't have the money to spend because it's a commercial that comes online that interrupts your message, if you can afford, it's for a law, learning for a law degree. If you can afford to pay for a law degree, turn us off.
Wow. We got a caller.
Oh, we have a caller. Okay.
Yeah, we got a caller. Okay, 2528, you're on Bring Back the Family. Welcome.
They press one.
Yep. Okay, you got you're on 2528, the last four of your phone number. You're on Bring Back the Family. Did you have a comment?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. I have a comment. You have a lot of good information. Is there a way for us making a comprehensive list of it, or get somebody to, you know, let's say if somebody can't write it all down right now,
right?
As far as having it compiled, maybe a younger, you know, somebody, you know, to have it all in listed, and maybe okay, you can go to this link or website and you could view what I've just read off.
Right,
or,
I was going
to
let you know at the end. Right, I was going to let you know at the end that we're going to have it on our website by the first of next week. And you could go to the website. Just look on the flyer that you were sent, and the website is on there. We'll have it all posted for you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That was my question. Okay, then. That's good, then. Thank you. That was it. Thank you.
You're welcome. And let me see what else.
Can I say this, Ms. Kathy? This is not a complete list. You, Ms. Kathy, will be adding to this list, so it's important that you stay tuned on Bring Back the Family so you'll know when additional scholarships, because we want our children in our research, we want our children to be able to send in 100 scholarships. We want to go down the record that we have a large group of young people that has applied through from Bring Back the Family, 100 scholarships in, because if you do 100, you will have a full ride.
Mm-hmm.
And the young lady that, and thank you for asking that, because that means that you are willing to help somebody and be a part of this team, to say that you were a willing participant to help somebody get that 100 scholarships applied for.
Yes, and if you have a pen, you could take down my number. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's see here. Yeah, hold on. Okay, I got a pen. Mm-hmm,
okay, it's 313-658-4995.
499. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh, and yep, just give me a call and we can make sure that you get that list. We'll just send it to you. Okay?
Okay.
Thank
All right,
you.
Thanks
for calling. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Let me say this, I just went up. Well, this is something locally. They have something new. They got some more money at Focus Hope where they was helping the kids out or something. You know, I was on Oakland Boulevard, and I was just saying that's another avenue that kids, young people can check out if they so wish. They have something in manufacturing and I think IT, you know. So anyway.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
I did see something about that also.
And you know, they had something, because I happened to be in that neighborhood there, going to the library, where the kid, this was just a 6 or 7 week program. Like, I have a nephew, he just wanted to learn tree trimming. She said, oh, we just got some money in for the tree trimming class. It was like, they're very strict. I think it might have been 7 or 8 weeks. But, you know, it is a skill, and some people might just want to take that route just to learn about.
Oh, that's a
you know,
very good skill.
You know, that's a skill, too, because, you know, as you see now, all these storms. So, anyway, it's offered through Focus Hope. They didn't have any money, and they recently just got some more money in for the tree trimming class.
And that's good information, because you know what? We didn't know that they had. Because tree trimming is big money. That is a skill that, well, it never goes out of business.
Right.
And just all of those storms.
You got to make sure you go for the 8 weeks or whatever, but it's well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
and I think Kathy had a show on about because everybody is not ready to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some very, but you have to go and do something. Like you said, if you don't want to go to college, that's fine, but you have to do something. So you
mm-hmm.
want to commit.
Trade.
To
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Well, let's make sure that once you start, you commit to it. Once you get the license, if you don't want to go in that direction, you still got that under your belt. That's a very
yes.
good idea. And
it
mm-hmm.
is. Yeah. Take up a trade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you didn't give us your name.
My name is Johnetta Holt. I'm the lady that I met at the golf course with the kids, you know, that what's the name? First Tee. I had my grandkids out there.
Okay.
And that's how I found
right,
out
the
about
twins.
The program. Yeah.
Great, the twins. Right. Okay, good to hear from you. Great. Just keep listening.
Right. So,
thank you so much.
Yeah, so this is our future, and they're, you know, we're going to make it bright.
Yes, ma'am. They are our future. Yes, they are. Thank you for listening. I'm going to make sure you get that
list.
Thank
you for the show.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Just continue to hold on. Let me see. 6695, did you have a comment or question?
Hey, Kat.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
You know,
Terrence? Yeah.
I was just listening to Miss Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
And every single thing she said was right in line with what I was with the comment I was gonna talk about. Because if we don't invest in our youth, then when they grow up, who are they going to invest in?
Right. That's right. It'll be.
Yeah.
Gotta take care of the next generation. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we don't take the time to invest in our youth's future, how are they going to know how to invest in the youth of the next generation?
Yes, we have to keep it going, because if we drop the ball and let it stop, it will stop. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of that now.
I hate to be so graphic, but
mm-hmm.
I feel like the reason why the suicide rate is up amongst our youth today is because nobody has taken the time to sit down and ask the youth how we can invest some time in our youth's future. And God put us on earth to be a blessing to people, and if we refuse to do what the Bible says when it comes to our youth, how are they gonna know what to do when it's time for them to invest in the next generation?
That's right. And we were speaking on that, Terrence, about how it's changing. It's, you know, it's just changing times, and it's like a new era. And our youth need more help, more and more preparation than what we had. And so family plays an important part in that. And we just need to be more involved in their activities and everything, you know, about, you know, their life. That's a lot of scholarships that they went over. And that's a lot of scholarships, and that's what family is about. And we need to play a bigger and important role in helping our youth to obtain these scholarships. That's important.
And when you talk about legacy, you're not only leaving a physical legacy when we're called to go home to be with the Lord. We're leaving a spiritual legacy to be passed on.
So if
we don't invest in our youth, what kind of spiritual legacy are we leaving for them?
That's right. They need the whole complete package. They need to be well-rounded. That's right.
Because when when we were growing up, we had all of it. It may have not have been perfect, but our parents tried their best to give us what they got a chance to invest in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And today our youth are lacking a spiritual legacy because the parents that are my age and younger are refusing to talk to them about what the future is going to be like.
Yeah, if we just imagine that, you know, it's not a pretty picture, but that's why we're here, because we're trying to change that image. Yes.
The image needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
And if the image changes, with us, then when the next generation becomes our age, then the next generation after them is going to know. There was a legacy that was passed down from two generations ago.
Yes, it was.
So,
well, thank you, Terrence. Thank you. Go ahead.
So, we need to get back to investing some time in our youth spirits, because the whole reason why our youth are like they are today is because not only are they emotionally broken, but they're spiritually broken.
Mhm. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
All that needs change, and we're praying it's going to change. So.
It will.
Thanks, Terrence. We haven't heard from you in a while. It's good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. You'll be hearing from me more.
Oh, good, great, because we're going to be here. We're going to be here. We want people to hear us, and we want everybody to just get up and do something on their block to help
you will be hearing
just get that
from
vision.
Me.
Yeah, we want them to get that.
You will be hearing from me a whole lot more.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, well, thanks for calling. We'd love to hear from you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Okay, where is that awesome pastor? Oh, okay. Hey there, Pastor O. You know, we got a lot. We have a lot of work to do. We have a whole lot of work to do, we have a lot of work to do. You know,
you know, every time I try to complain to Jesus about, well, not complain, but think it's, you know, well, Lord, is it time for me to come on home? And he just started laughing, and that's exactly what he said. He said, are you kidding? You got work to do. Lots of
work
to
do.
you can forget about
I'm sorry, we got one more caller. Can they sneak in
That's
on
okay.
you?
That's okay.
Okay, let's see. That was 2180. You're on Bring Back the Family.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Welcome.
This is Kim Somerville.
Well, hello. So hello, Ms.
How are you? Yes,
I just applaud
you all. The program was wonderful. All those scholarships, great. Is it possible that I can get a copy of them or something like that, or even just email to me? I do have your number, I think.
Great. Call us up. We're going to have them posted next week, but we will make sure that you get a copy and a list. Yeah,
sounds great.
Thanks for calling.
I'm very happy that what's going
well,
on. It's great. And of course, you know, this is my 27th year at Mark Twain School for Scholars, so I have them from pre-K through eighth grade. So that's
all right. Yeah. You know, if we don't help our youth now, we'll be victims of not helping later. So do what you have
to
get those kids educated the way they should be.
Yes. I agree.
Yes, some of my kids go there. The cat's kids. Some of them go there, and
Okay. Sounds wonderful.
Okay, thank you for calling and spread the word. Send the flyer out to others.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye bye.
All right, Pastor O. Thanks for that.
Oh, you're welcome. It's always good to hear from a caller. You know, as I was listening to you and to Rebecca and to Jackie, and the whole theme of tonight is the legacy. And then as I was listening to Pastor Terrence, I was like, really, Jesus? Because I got the thought for tonight's message from you. When you said something about what kind of example are we living, what kind of life are we living in front of our kids, and how we had been given, and Terrence said the same thing, been given so much. Somebody did it for us so that we could become the people we are. What are we doing for them seemed to be the question. And then when I was listening to Pastor Terrence, I say, well, Jesus, is he getting ready to preach the whole message? Because he literally preached the message the Lord gave me when he even mentioned the word legacy. It's like the Holy Spirit was just telling, well, you go ahead on and say it since you're talking now. But anyway, he just confirmed for me this word I got from the Lord and from hearing the discussion that you guys were having. And what I love about this is how, see, some Christians feel like all you need to do is know Jesus. That's true. But you also need education. See, your gift will make room for you. This is what the Bible says. Not just talking about, and like Pastor Terrence said, there's a secular or natural, okay, and then there's a spiritual. And we talked about that last week. These two have to come together. Okay, like Paul, he wrote 13 books of the New Testament, right? But what was his job? He was a tent maker. As he was making tents, his that gift of tent making in that day and in that culture, because a lot of people were Bedouins, and when they traveled, they would need those things to set up for overnighting. You know what I mean? So Paul it was a pretty lucrative business because it was what everybody needed, right? But while he was plying his trade, then the spiritual kicked in. Hey, have you heard about the things that happened in Jerusalem? See, that could start it up, you know. So while he got there, he have a captured audience. They waiting on their tent, right? So while they waiting, he's telling them these fantastic stories that everybody at that time was talking about. You know what I mean? It was buzz about Jesus was everywhere, okay. Even in the Old Testament, when Rahab heard about, told Joshua them spies that Joshua sent out, we've heard about your God. So the talk was all over the place, okay? And so Paul was able to bring those two together. Yes, he was an intellectual giant spiritually. We know that now. He didn't feel like that, but we know it, okay? And he was also a tent maker at the same time. And those two came together. And somebody that Paul was involved with and the sermon that the Lord just really confirmed through Pastor Terrence was about a man named Timothy. We know him as Timothy. Paul picked him up on his second missionary journey. You'll find that in Acts chapter 16. And then Paul, he traveled with Paul extensively, okay? And he saw a lot of things, and he heard about his first missionary journeys and the perils of that. And so Timothy had been made pastor of the church at Ephesus by Paul. And now Paul is writing to him in 2 Timothy. And this is really, if you really understand this book, this is his swan song, his soliloquy. This is it. It's checkout time. And Paul knows it. You know, that's why this is when he has written about, I fought a good fight and I've kept the faith and now I know what's laid up for me. Okay? But he's not concerned about that. It was the same thing with Peter when he knew that the Lord himself had told him he did not have a long life to live, not much longer, right, to get ready to go. But you know what? That wasn't his concern, and that is something that really shocked me about these kinds of people who have walked closely with the Lord. When the Lord himself tells them it's time to go, get ready, get your house in order, they're not concerned about dying. They're not concerned about leaving. But what they are concerned about is what Pastor Terrence talked about, legacy. And so Paul, in this letter, 2 Timothy, which really is sad, like 2 Peter, is because if you read him closely, you'll find that he's on his way out, and he knows it. But that isn't his concern. So I want to share with you just a little bit of his concern from 2 Timothy chapter 3, around verse 10 to 17. He says, "You, however," talking about Timothy, "know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings, and what kinds of things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured." Now, if you know anything about Paul's first missionary journey, it started off with him running into a man called Elymas. Okay? He was a sorcerer, because that is what his name meant. And there was this proconsul that Paul was interested in hearing about Jesus. Like I say, everybody was talking about it. And so he wanted to hear about it. But Elymas kept getting in the way. You ever try to talk to somebody about Jesus and somebody just start getting in the way? Well, that's what Elymas was doing. And so Paul called him for who he was, a servant of the devil. He ended up blind for a time. And, of course, this guy, Sergius Paulus, was more than glad to become a Christian. Okay? And so in the second incident, it's in Lystra, where Timothy lived, in Iconia. And the Iconians, when Paul went down there and did a miracle, they started to want him and Barnabas to be gods, one Mercury's and worse, one Hermes, okay? And then Paul gave this great speech about how God had sent him there to turn them from that. Don't worship us, worship God, the one who give us the rain and the crops and all of this stuff. He's shown himself. You've seen his action. Worship him. But then some people who had been following Paul around, being used by the devil to stop this missionary movement, turn the crowd against Paul. And that is where Paul faced what Stephen faced. Paul was stoned, some say to death, but the Lord raised him up, and he went back into the city. See, Timothy lived around there, so he knew about that. The talk was all around about that, and so the second missionary journey, Paul picks him up. He knows about that, and Paul says, "Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." That's what trips me out about Christians. Why do we think it's such a strange thing that we got people who just hate us, just see us and hate us, don't even know us, okay? And it doesn't matter how you treat them, okay? I'll never forget when the seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19 tried to cast out a demon. And them demons spoke back to him. And they said, Jesus we know, and Paul we heard about. See, they've heard about us. And they know if we're on the battlefield for the Lord, like old folks say, and we're really doing this thing, they know about you. They know about you, Kat, for sure. They done tore up families all across America, and here you are talking about bringing back the family. You facing bring down some big demons who destroyed all this. They did all this. And the Lord has raised you up along with Jackie and Rebecca and even myself and with the young folks, okay, to bring back what Satan has tore up. Everything that the devil stole, God wants brought back. And we've all become a part of that effort.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul says, anybody who want to live for Jesus and do right things, okay, going to suffer persecution. Just because you're trying to, but the real enemy is not the people who the devil is using. The real enemy is Satan, who wants families to stay tore up, who don't want us to help the youth. So we will become victims of them later. That's the issue. So Paul says, while evildoers and imposters go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So don't expect the world to get better. Look at Washington. They're just getting worse and worse. They hate each other more and more every day. And who, what did the Lord say? A house divided against itself cannot stand. Tell me the House of Representatives ain't divided. Tell me the Senate ain't divided. The country. But as for you, continue. Now, here's the legacy part. Paul says, skip all of that. Don't become concerned about all of that. What happened to me? What's happening to you? What's happening to us? Forget all of that. But as for you, continue in what you've learned. I heard Pastor Terrence Tate say, what have we taught them? We don't only want to give them a secular or natural legacy, but what kind of spiritual legacy are we leaving behind? My father left me a great work ethic. Today I spent the whole day replacing the entire front suspension system on my new hot rod. My father taught me that. That is completely secular and a natural giftings for doing mechanical things. But my father gave me that. But my father and mother also led me to Jesus. And then I understood how two people who dropped out of school in the eighth grade could have the kind of success they had and raise nine kids. And we didn't know we was poor until we grew up and found out what lot of money was. Okay? But that legacy, that spiritual, my father worked at EJ Corvette and Ford Motor Company for a time. My mother worked at Ford Motor Company and then Edward Gerback Funeral Homes. Okay, so we saw that work ethic, but we also saw them kneeling down by the bed in prayer. Paul says, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Paul knew that Timothy had certain skills that he didn't really get from his mother and his father. From his mother and his grandmother, but he got it from his father. His father was a Greek, and everybody in that area knew that. That's why Paul had him circumcised and even avoid the argument. Didn't even want to deal with it, so he just said, hey, let's go ahead and get circumcised. You're a proselyte to Judaism. We good. Okay? Because everybody in that area, as the Bible says, knew that his father was a Greek, but his mother and his grandmother, Eunice and Lois, they had taught him the scriptures from his infancy. Some people say, How could he learn the Bible from his infancy and they didn't even have a Bible then? Well, they did have the 39 books of the Old Testament. And if you read Matthew's account, you'll see over and over again how he fulfilled everything the writers of the Old Testament said about the coming Christ. And so his mother and grandmother instilled in him, even though his father was a Greek and doesn't sound like he was converted to Judaism, but his mother's faith was still in Judaism, and she was familiar enough with the scriptures to be, and smart enough to raise her child to know the Holy Scriptures, and the Bible says from infancy. She was taking this. This is the model that she took. When you look at Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6, this is what Timothy's mother did and his grandmother. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's what they did. That's what his mother and his grandmother did. His father was a Greek. He didn't know the Bible. But they did, and they instilled it in Timothy. And look what happened. Now he's with Paul. Timothy is thoroughly familiar with the Greek culture. Paul, having grown up in Antioch, was thoroughly familiar with Greek culture. And look what they did. Look at all the churches they planted. And Timothy stayed with Paul until Paul appointed him as pastor of the church of Ephesus. And so when you read the book of Ephesus, you're reading about the church that Timothy pastored. And how did all of this happen? Growing up with a father who was Greek, a mother who was Jewish, grandmother who was Jewish, and in a Greek town, nowhere near where the Lord's people were, out in the Roman provinces, scattered among the Greeks, among cultures, surrounded by cultures, totally forbidden for them to even take part in any of those practices that they took part in. And yet this boy becomes a traveler with Paul and pastor of the church at Ephesus. Why? Because of legacy. Somebody was concerned about the next generation. Paul knew he wasn't going to be around forever, and he going around planting churches all over Asia Minor, all over Greece, all the way to Rome. He can't pass all those churches, and he ain't trying to become no big old giant important bishop and say, I'd have planted them, they all my churches, y'all under me. No, he didn't do that. He appointed those pastors, and he kept it moving. He was looking out for those who came behind him. If you want to hear something really heart-touching, you want to hear something selfless, listen to Paul as he talks to those pastors that he had appointed over those churches that he planted. Okay? This is Acts chapter 20, and Paul is about to leave them, and they're never going to see him again. Okay? Listen to what Paul says to them. I'm going to pick up at verse 17 because of time. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. Now, elder can also be called a pastor, shepherd, presbyter, or priest, or elder, or reverend, or minister, whatever. Okay, those names are all synonymous with the same thing. Okay, not every elder is a pastor. Okay, so you know the pastor and you know those who work with the pastor. So he's writing to the pastors of those churches that he planted. When they arrived, he said to them, you know how I've lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my own Jewish opponents. You know that I've not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I'm innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from among your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard, and remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you day and night with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, like bring back the family. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when Paul got through with all of that, he knelt down and prayed with him. So legacy is what's on his mind, not prisons and hardships, because we know the end of the story. He goes to Jerusalem. He doesn't care, even when Agabus shows up in chapter 21 and ties himself up with Paul's belt and say, this is what the Jews going to do to the man who owned this belt in Jerusalem. Paul says, why are you trying to break my heart? Okay, I'm going to Jerusalem. If I go there and live, good. If I go there and die for Christ, good. But I'm going. And he went. So for Paul, it was legacy. His dealings with Timothy, it was legacy. Abraham and Isaac, it was legacy. Isaac with Jacob, and Jacob with even his 12 crazy kids. It was legacy. They were all making an intentional effort to do something about those coming behind them. We say we want life to be better for our kids than it was for us. But somehow we've allowed it to become worse for our kids than it was for us. So we got to flip that around. Only we can change our neighborhoods. Only we can change our children. Only we can, we are the ones to make a way for a brighter day. Now, you know it's time for me to quit now. Now I'm singing We Are the World, okay?
We are the world.
That's when you know the sermon is over, when you start quoting We Are the World, okay? We are the world. Now I'm singing. It's
we
over.
We are the world. It's the truth. That's a great song. We are the world. We are the children. That's right, Pastor.
The ones to make a better way. So let's start giving.
Yes,
oh, Lord,
let's start
I know the
giving.
Word.
Yes, sir. Beautiful song. Love
Ooh.
It.
You know,
yeah,
I really love coming on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, Kat?
Mm-hmm.
This is, I said it once. I'm going to say it again. This is the only place
uh-huh.
you let me preach like this. I
no.
get to roll with it. You know.
That's a good deal.
Lord have mercy.
No butterflies or nothing, huh?
None of that. None of that. I just wait
great,
and listen.
Great.
I come
Yay.
On here intentionally. I listen to right at the beginning when Jackie starts, then Rebecca prays, and then you start talking, and I know all three of you guys or one of you are going to give me a word for tonight. I know that, and I've gotten used to it. And when you said what you said about something about leaving behind, what are we doing, what something, that's when the Lord said, wow, that sounds like when Paul was getting ready to leave Timothy. And there you go. And all of that came from what that one statement. And then the theme of the show, our children need education, help them with their education, and the urgency in that, and when you see it with your own eyes, you know the urgency. You know, like Israel Houghton said in his songs, I feel responsible now that I've seen. I wonder what I can do to change 1,000 lives. So, it's the only place I get to preach like that. Sunday I'll be a technocrat. But Sunday I get to use a new gadget. You know, I'm prohibited from writing out sermons, but I am not prohibited from having a scripture in front of me. So I get to keep my reader. And you're talking about having your cake and eat it, too.
Good.
I get to keep my reader. And she's going to set me up for the theme of the sermon because that's what she does. And then
that's right.
I look at the scripture so I don't get lost. So there you go.
Boom, boom.
I'm telling you. I'm fired up.
Well, that was some good food for thought. Yes, sir, Pastor. Just put the icing on the cake there. Yeah, wrapped it up very nice in a nice package for us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good show today. Thank you, ladies. You guys are my stars. I got Miss Sister Pierce on the line today. I don't know if she want to have anything. No, she don't.
Well, you know what? I'm so glad and happy to meet her this week, last weekend. And Sister Jackie, too. Yeah, it was awesome.
Right. Had a good Labor Day weekend, and they all got a chance to meet one another. Yes, sir. I was trying to get Sister Pierce in, but Mr. Pierce is over there making noise. So having his conversation. He's having his evening conversation. It get loud sometimes. Good brother-in-law. Yeah, so, just want to, pray for my neighbor's family lost, Mr. Tim Jones. He was a longtime neighbor of mine, and just pray for the Jones family. He's going to be missed. Wish Pastor a happy anniversary, him and Sister Sheila, she be baby Holy Ghost. They had a anniversary this week on the 6th, and they went out and celebrated real well. Just congratulations on that. And let me see, what about tomorrow? Saturday school, 9 a.m., followed by the worship service at 10. And then Sunday school, 9 o'clock, followed by in-person service at the River Ridge High School. Welcome to join us if you don't have anywhere to go. If you don't have a church home, you're welcome to come over and fellowship with us. And then Saturday, like tomorrow, is the same place, same time here on this station, 646-915-8148. You're welcome to listen in and fellowship with us on Blog Talk. Okay, anything else, Pastor? Oh, happy anniversary to you. And Shebe. Let me see. So that wraps up the Bring Back the Family show for tonight. Just thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Rebecca. You know, thank you. You guys are always there. And get a good little song going here. Listen, the children are our future. Teach them well and allow them to lead the way. Don't teach them and then hold them back.
allow them to be leaders and continue on to the next level. We can't just continue to keep the resources and leadership we have enjoyed having and not pass it on to the next generation so they can live life also, okay? If your parents, your caregivers gave you Christ, then pass it on. It helped you, and share it with your children and others, okay? Share Christ with your children and others, okay? If we don't, we already know what kind of life awaits them without God, okay? And that's the end of the Bring Back the Family show for this week. We're going to have a good show next week, so tune in same time, same place next week. We'll see you there. You know, we have much, much work to do. Let's do it.